in the state of Iowa, please use the BetMGM app. Easy to use, download to your phone, great parlays, a lot of betting specials. If you're going to bet sports in Iowa, use BetMGM app on your phone. Tony, how you doing today?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm good. We have Tony Cotillo. He is at TCotillo23. Crazy day in sports. Had some things to talk to you about, but going to jump up and Tiger is one of those athletes that when something happens, I mean, it takes over the news stations, it takes over the sports stations, and that's what everybody's talking about. Not a good day.
Not a good day at all. Especially when you look at it, I understand it's a lot of people are not life-threatening, this and that, but this is career-threatening. This is, unfortunately, we could have seen the last time Tiger Woods ever swung a golf club, and we may not, it's likely we probably will never see it again.
And that's, all the fight that he had to try to make it back. And you could see on Sunday when he was doing an interview with Jim Nance that, he wasn't happy. I don't think he was happy the way things were heading. He's just waiting, making sure it scars over. I mean, the things that he's trying to do just so he can go out and play. And it was one of those things when I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, it would be more fun for me, as much as I love Tiger and he's right up there, for him to go play golf with his son on a Thursday night or a Sunday morning than it is to watch him play competitive golf. And I'd be more willing to love seeing him do that. And hopefully maybe that's still something that he can do on a recreational thing. It was 400 feet down. I mean, that was not a pretty crash, and that's scary. And I hope everything turns out. And I hope everything's. I can't even say it. I just hope everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Okay, so one of the things that a local station did, and you probably have people doing this all over the place, but they had a knockout round trying to knock out one of these four athletes. And we talk about these guys all the time, and it was four people who they thought it was one name, So one of them was Tiger Woods. I mean, he's Tiger. One of them was Jordan. One of them was Wayne Gretzky, and the other was Tom Brady. And you had to knock one out. And I bet you I talked a whole segment yesterday, and I talked myself out of so many things. And it hurt because the only reason I watch hockey is Wayne Gretzky, because he changed what I thought hockey was and made it fun to watch. As much as in playoff hockey, I love 2-1 or 1-0, watching somebody score 7 goals is pretty cool. And by the end, that was the first one I knocked out. Who'd be the first one you'd knock out?
Man, this is a great question.
Isn't that a good one?
It is. It really is. And it's funny that you bring up Gretzky, because indirectly, Wayne Gretzky probably gets screwed more than any other athlete that's ever lived, only because he played hockey.
Yeah.
And honestly, because if you go back and if you watch any kind of biography or a 30 for 30 or read a book about Wayne Gretzky, look at some highlights, I don't think you can respect how good he really was and how he made the game of hockey evolve. Now, again, I know two guys in hockey, Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux.
Yep.
Those two guys will forever be in my head because that was in our era. They were the guys who evolutionized the sport to bring it up to guys like Sidney Crosby. Now, there was other guys in hockey like Brett Hull, who was amazing. Obviously the heir apparent of Bobby Hull. But, I think you have to go Wayne, because Jordan is my all-time fave, so you never can knock out Jordan, right? And Tiger Woods, like what we just said about Wayne Gretzky, Tiger Woods not only evolved the game of golf, but he opened it up and he changed the culture. He changed the diversity of an entire sport, which not many athletes can say they ever did. That's like Jackie Robinson territory.
Yes.
And that's something he did for the PGA. So you can't knock him out. Now, maybe you go Tom, but Tom's the GOAT. He's got a 7th ring.
Yes.
I mean, as much as you, I mean,
at
he's
43.
Got the girl. Right? Exactly. He's got the girl. He's got the body. And what I mean by that is he's a physical specimen for 43 years old, right? He has the lifestyle. He has the rings. So, unfortunately, I think you have to go Wayne, but that's no disrespect to Wayne because I really do love what he always stood for was all about for the NHL.
And it was downhill for me because, you know, then because I kicked Brady out next just because if you were going to compare him to Tiger and Michael Jordan, they changed, not only did they change their sport, but they changed how people viewed not only athletics, but clothing and hats and shoes. Yep. and equipment and all of that. And I came down to it, and I was leaning Jordan because I hold him in such high regard, and I should have stayed with mine because I said, you know, I'm right here because here's the difference between all four of them. None of the rest of them have teams in college, teams in the pros, and professional athletes wearing the gear. And Michael Jordan has that.
Yeah, now you're right.
That puts him above all the others just for that simple fact that he has taken his brand and he has moved it to where no other athlete had. And then I went back to Tiger changing golf and bringing it to the masses that it wasn't available. It really wasn't.
Nope.
And it wasn't something, I mean, I didn't start playing golf until about the time that he started playing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this golf stuff. I thought it was just for old people.
Yep.
And I didn't know. I mean, I live in Iowa. But it's amazing now. In this state, on any given day, I mean, we went out, my wife and I met a couple, and we did virtual golf on a simulator, and I had more fun than I've had in a long time, and there were 15 inches of snow on the ground. So that's what he's done. So I picked him, and then the next day, he has a car accident.
Oof.
So
it's brutal, but it's so true. It is. It's so true.
But that's such a great question of because
it really is
all of them. And the thing I remember most about Wayne Gretzky is he's like 12 years old and he's playing people that are in like the International League that are in their 20s. And they're looking at this skinny kid going, what's he going to do? And then he just totally destroys all these guys and his puck movement and his pass. See, that's the thing that he made is he made passing cool. You know, scoring goals, okay. But look what I can do and help everybody else. Even if I've got three guys on me, I'm going to pass the puck and they're going to score. And I'm going to look at these guys going, what are you doing on me? And
you know,
I always thought Gretzky was cool.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's maybe a little bit of a stretch. But what I will say is to kind of piggyback what you talked about with stick movement is what he was able to do finesse-wise with the puck in the NHL is what you see Kyrie Irving do with basketball. In the NBA, and because I swear that Kyrie Irving is going to go down as the best ball handler of all time. Ball handler, right? I mean, people have to understand what we mean by that. Ball handler, the way the guy can switch directions. I mean, we talked about Timmy Hardaway with the killer crossover, but this guy, Kyrie, does it on the fly, right? So that's what Wayne Gretzky did. He opened us up to the finesse play. He didn't want to get hit. Mario Lemieux was a bigger guy. He was able to take some punishment. Wayne Gretzky, he was a finesse guy. That's why everybody hates Sidney Crosby, right? Because Sid the Kid, he's a finesse guy. And that's why a lot of people didn't like Wayne either. So, but yeah, he was unbelievable if you get a chance to watch it for anybody listening.
Oh, and I agree. One of the topics that I talked to another guest today, Jeff Bezos is looking at trying to buy the Washington football team. And when you think, and he has a lot of people that dislike him, and mm-hmm. because of... They dislike him because he's wealthy, but what he did, his business plan, probably 90% of the people in the banks and the powerful people wouldn't have said, oh yeah, we'll back you on this. So he did it himself. But what he would bring is even we talked about that he bought Whole Foods, a grocery chain, and totally changed it. And how did he change it? Because I'm going to make it to where we'll sell the same stuff, but we're going to sell it at a lower price. We're going to open up it to a whole different section of people, and we'll sell 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times as much, and nobody will ever know. And the Washington football team needs a change. And I know as a Philadelphian, you don't want the Washington football team to get better, but I don't think they could be ran any worse. I mean, Ron Rivera, who you know, if you take what he's gone through in that year, getting them to the playoffs, going through cancer treatment and doing all that, Ron Rivera deserves better. Ron Rivera deserves Jeff Bezos owning that team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Daniel Snyder definitely has his fair share of misfires over the years, and definitely between him and Jerry Jones, you always want to see who's taking a more powerful lead here, even though Jeffrey Lurie of Philadelphia is getting his weasel hands in there as well. So, but, you know, here's the thing. I'm a secret fan of the Washington football team because of not only what you just said, but I love old school football.
I do too.
And, right? And if you, and that team between Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio gives you old school football, and that's why they were able to win even beyond all the adversity, even after all the injuries. Even, I mean, guys like Chase Young, the reason why Chase Young was such a leader and so good is because Jack Del Rio put that old school grit inside of his head. I mean, Chase Young was already fantastic, already true leader, but you could tell he had a little Del Rio in him, and that team was very exciting to watch if you like old school football. So you're right. Here's the thing. I think they're the next up-and-coming team in the NFL, and if they get a new owner, they would even be better.
Oh, my goodness. I agree. And once again, we're talking to Tony Cotillo. He's at T. Cotillo 23. That 23 isn't just his favorite number. That happens to be Michael Jordan, folks. That's why mine has 23 in there, too. The Philadelphia 76ers have to play the Toronto Raptors. They are 4-10 in their last 14. Mm. And that's the team that they have to beat to get where they want to go. How are they going to do
that?
Yes,
they do.
What do they need to do?
You know, a lot of people slept on the Toronto Raptors, especially after, you know, Kawhi Leonard left. But they didn't really understand. See, let me back up for a minute. One thing about Toronto that people don't really realize is they have one of the top three coaches in the NBA.
Absolutely.
And Nick Nurse, the way he controls and embodies the culture of that team is like no other. And what I mean by that with culture, read about it and see what kind of family atmosphere he instills in that team. And that's why guys love playing for Nick Nurse. Now, he also knows what we can't do. And what that is, you know, we're built around Joel Embiid. So he did something brilliant last game, and he went small, and he made Joel Embiid a non-factor and said, we're going to let everybody else beat us. And Ben Simmons was the lone bright spot. Everybody else kind of crapped the bed. Now, Toronto is a very, very good defensive team. If you go back and watch that game film, I mean, those guys were on the Sixers before they even had a chance to shoot the ball. The Sixers were very indecisive, but they couldn't flip the switch because they weren't used to people being in their face constantly throughout the entire game. So I think tonight we see a little difference. This is Doc Rivers and not Brett Brown. He's able to adjust. He will formulate a game plan. And I have no doubt that the Sixers will take care of business tonight.
And I love that matchup coaching-wise. Doc Rivers doesn't get enough X's and O's credit. You know, he's always been known as, hey, I can mesh different people and get them to play well together. His X's and O's are he doesn't get enough credit. And I got to give you, so Nick Nurse, I went to University of Northern Iowa, and I was a sophomore, he was a freshman, and that's the way that's the way he played basketball too. He played basketball the way he coaches. He's two steps ahead because he wasn't the most athletic, he wasn't the quickest, he didn't shoot the best, but he was always two steps ahead of everybody. And boy, in the rec league, I hated playing him because even in the rec league, I mean, we're there to play offense, not defense. But he played defense, by golly. So he is a bright mind, and it'll do well for the Toronto Raptors to keep him as long as they can, because I don't think it matters what his roster looks like. I think he's still going to win.
I agree. I completely agree. He's proving it. He's proving it right now. And even with a young kid like Boucher, who we're looking at and saying, wow, last year, where did this kid come from? This year, now all of a sudden, he's getting more experience. You watch Siakam take another step. You watch guys like Terrence Davis in the second year actually play a really important part of that team. And they're led by Kyle Lowry, who is that absolute veteran presence that may be on the move and may come home to Philadelphia. So that'll be an interesting storyline as well.
It is going to be an interesting storyline. Alshon Jeffrey and Malik Jackson deserve to be cut?
You know, I think everybody's on a chopping block right now. Alshon Jeffrey, a lot of people, for what it's worth, unless you're a Philadelphia fan and follow the team to see what he did in big games, you'll kind of realize why, you know, he was productive based on, you know, what he was paid in the beginning. Because he came here to do what he was supposed to do. Everybody's looking at the outskirts of after the injury and what happened after the Super Bowl when he was non-existent. And, you know, it wasn't his fault that they overpaid him. That's what they gave him. So you can't fault the athlete. So does he deserve to get cut? The way this team is going, yes, absolutely. Malik Jackson, I don't know. You know, for me, I would think that they would cut Fletcher Cox and keep Malik Jackson. But, you know, that's me because I think they're so high over the cap, they need to make as many moves as possible. So we'll see what happens. But what I could do, I could definitely tell you, is the Philadelphia Eagles are going to look eerily different when, you know, come training camp, you know, in July.
We got about a minute and a half. I want to ask you one more 76er. So there are some veterans in the league that are probably going to get here, like DeMarcus Cousins getting ready to get cut.
Yep.
Blake Griffin is probably in that same. Is there somebody out there that would make the Philadelphia 76ers better that they wouldn't have to give up very much for?
You know, right now, I don't think so. Boogie Cousins doesn't work on his team, in my opinion. Blake Griffin, I think, could be a nice piece depending on what he has left. He's gone through a very lengthy injury, riddle history. So we'll see. But right now, I don't see anybody. I think it's the trade market that they have to hit.
Perfect. Tony, as always, man, you were awesome. Thanks for talking Philadelphia with me, buddy.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in and happy Tuesday, everybody. A little bit of the sunshine going down. It's still nice outside. If you are out driving tonight, be careful for refreeze. Always be on the lookout. You're joining in with Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Want to thank Chris Tubbs and Tony Cotillo coming in and talking some sports with me. It is also nice that Miss Tiff said she would come back in. You still there, Tiff?
I'm thoroughly enjoying the play-in music.
Isn't it
great? Little Hootie and the Blowfish?
I get my own bumper music. I get so excited about that. Nobody cares. But you care. There you go.
I care. I remember the long conversations about trying to pick music. We spent lots of time doing that.
It's
That's
important.
A good one.
It is really important, and I like that you like it. If you want to check out the show, you can go to @SteenOnSports on Twitter, @1700TheChamp on Twitter, and @1700TheChamp on Facebook. We had so many. I just had two really good conversations on top of having you for a great segments early. All right. So let's tell everybody, let's give a little bit of background here. So next Tuesday when we come on, John Miller's coming on with us, and that's a big deal for me. I thoroughly enjoyed talking to John when Wolf and I were doing this, and just had great conversations. And as much as he could get my goat, he could get John's goat too, and it was really funny. I would just kind of sit back. That'd be the one time that I got to sit back and laugh every once in a while, and it usually had to do with Gary Barta, and neither one of them like him very much. So, but hey. But tell us, you know, that was so great of you to get John to come back on with us.
Well, John Miller goes back so far with Wolfgang. 10 years prior to him even starting his own show on Saturdays, Wolfgang, John Miller, who was basically, I believe, the founder of Hawkeye Nation.
Yes.
Was also on the radio in Des Moines with him and Steve Dace, I believe.
Yes, very
and
good.
And Wolfgang used to call in. The first time when it originated, he would call in just as a caller, and he became a regular caller. And they liked him, and the, you know, he was surprisingly boisterous, and he had that voice that captured people. So they started having him do segments, regular segments on their show with them. So he has been a longtime friend of Wolfgang's. And the funny thing about them is, and John will talk about it, I'm sure, next week, is they never actually met in person.
Isn't that funny?
But they talked on the phone probably a couple times a week, and they were texting, and John really mentored Wolfgang and got him, you know, gave him lots of advice and, you know, all those touches on the radio, which is so important. And he's been, then obviously we've kept in touch for the past couple of years. So he has ventured into a couple different things. He sold Hawkeye Nation and became disassociated with that and kind of did his own thing for a little bit. And he is, you know, making a comeback. However, his love for the Hawkeyes has not changed. So I did talk to him Friday, and he wants to come back on and talk about sports. And as you know, he's got that mellow calmness about him, but yet he waves the disgust. And, you know, he's got so much back history that it's really, really interesting to hear him talk. And he talks a lot about KenPom, which is really, he credits Wolfgang for that, because Wolfgang loved statistics. He would also talk about the eyeball test, which sometimes statistics can't address, but he said since March of 2019, he's kind of dug into these analytics and how fun it is to bring those into the picture. So, yes, he will join us next week.
Yep.
And talk all things Hawkeyes.
I love it. I love it. I'm probably going to leave that open for a few segments just because it'll be so much fun. Three of my favorite shows, we had him on. We had Steve Dace on when Steve Dace just wanted to talk about sports, which I love. He's a savant when it comes to sports. It's just not his prime concern anymore. And the third was Andy Garman, when Andy Garman would come on. And Andy Garman is another one that I'm going to try to reach out to come back to, they're just great people. And here's the really, of all the things, and through the tragedy and coming back and having you come back in here with me, and then losing the show again, and then getting the show back and working hard at trying to do that. Here's the really funny thing. So the group from 1460, even though we're competitors, are some of the nicest people that you'll ever meet. And it would be so much fun to have some of them on the phone, on the show and stuff to talk, but you can't do that. But it's just, we think the same way, laugh at the same stuff, treat sports the same way, and like local stuff. And that's what, when Wolf and I started doing this, that's what he wanted to do. I mean, we talk about a lot of things, but, you know, he wanted to do that. And the other is, he would try to figure out anything listening to me or watching me that made me angry, and then just stick the knife in and go.
You know, what's so great about that situation, which, you know, we've talked about a couple times, is there's so many things, there's so many peripheral topics that are around sports that always loop back in that you can, you know, talk. And, you know, we talked about, you know, his favorite show was the Dan Le Batard show. If you watch that, listen to it ever. It's not on anymore right now, but goofy, they're just silly.
Yeah.
And Wolfgang would be silly. I remember, like, when you guys would interview Mitch Holthus, I believe, you know, Gant would always, you know, want to talk to him about what his favorite pizza was, because he was a Papa John's.
Yep. And he would just make up pizzas and go, yeah, I wouldn't have ate that pizza, but he doesn't know that. He was
right?
So good at that. Yes.
Or I'd ask Bill Finley or anybody, like those people, when they first come on, his opening line would be, why do you hate the Hawkeyes?
Exactly. That was the best.
And so he was very, very good at icebreakers, and it immediately loosened up. And I remember he had Chris Kleiman on, who was at North Dakota State, and that was when Carson Wentz was there and they won the whole thing, I think.
Yes.
And now he's at Kansas State, but we interviewed him. He came on the radio, and it just changes the dynamic, because when people ask you questions that they're not asked every single time they go on a radio show, and they get to talk, you get to see their personality, which really creates more fans when you get to know somebody on a different level. So it's fun to do fun things. And when there's history with people and it's just fun to bring different people on, and you have a good crew. And that's what's so fun about when Shafe comes on too, because, you know, he's kind of been with you since the inception of the show, and there's so much history there. And now it's personal and professional, and so it's a good mix, and it's fun.
Even if I write down what I want to talk to John about, we'll never do it, because we'll get off topic. And I mean, the funnest I've had with him this year is he was so excited to get his snowblower. I mean, he takes videos of himself snowblowing, and I'm like, nobody cares. And my wife's texting, I cared, I watched it. And I'm like, okay, I lose as always with John Schaefer. So I have a funny one here for you. I don't know if you saw the Twitter on this, but a couple of Oklahoma football players. Now, one of them's a holder, right? He's a holder. And the other one didn't look like the toughest guys in the world in either. But, you know, they're thinking, hey, we're Oklahoma football players and we can do what we want. And the funny thing is they told the police that they were assaulted, but unbeknownst to them, people were taking a video. I mean, everybody that was in the bathroom with them were taking videos of it. But they
I mean, like, yeah. This kid knew. Is he new?
Yeah.
Like, you can't even go anywhere without somebody videoing you.
Anybody that you come into a bar from the age I was 16 when I shouldn't have been in a bar, if their ears are messed up, folks, you do not mess with them, period. And these two kids are just looking at each other going, well, we've told them no. And then they look at each other again and say, well, we told them no. And then, boom, and these two Oklahoma football players got their butts whooped. And
I mean, it wasn't whooped. They were... It was two hits, and then they were, actually three. Two hits, and then he hit the floor, and he did not move. And the funny thing was is the holder that of OU, which, you know, I love Oklahoma, but
you
sometimes
do.
They're like dummies, was considerably had a size variance on the kid that knocked him out.
Oh, yeah, out cold. And it was crazy.
I remember going, and he was like, and what did my son had called me about this earlier, that the kid that did the punching that got annoyed was like a background in MMA.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, like wrestler, MMA, like that kid. So I'm so sad that you were that dumb that you just
ears were messed up and scars on face. Leave alone. Just leave him alone. Yep. Go buy him a beer. I mean, come on. We're all smarter than that.
We're full of PSAs today.
We are. And
like you said, watch the refreeze.
Yes, big time.
And now, if you see somebody that potentially could be a wrestler because they have ears that indicate that, walk away.
Walk away. Tell them, hey, you know what? I don't like these two guys over here. How about we go over and I'll watch you beat them up. There you go. And you use them.
There's no tougher people.
Here's a third PSA for you. This happened to the Seattle Mariners CEO. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday, but I want to make sure that everybody heard this. I mean, he was, if you're talking in front of people anywhere you are, And on this show, I mean, we're being recorded and we can get in trouble for saying stuff. But if you're out and you're talking in public or yelling or having a good time and all that, and it starts to get loud and crazy, or you're just saying things that you probably shouldn't be saying, you can almost guarantee that someone's taping. And
yep.
He disparaged a Japanese player for not learning English. He got mad at a Dominican Republic player for not having good language skills, talked bad about another prospect, and told everybody that he was cheating to keep their prospect time down so they didn't have to pay them. And he's wondering why he got fired. But he didn't get fired. He resigned. I'm like, folks, come on. You're a CEO of a company. You're not allowed to go out and say dumb things like that. What are people thinking, Tiff?
I don't know if this is a case of, like, people gone wild, like, girls gone wild. Like, people have been in isolation for so long, they've come out and forgot all, like, social etiquette and skills. But that makes me laugh because some people, you wonder what's crossing their mind. Like, I have friends that are teachers. I have a couple friends that are physicians, attorneys, depending on what it is. Like, I have teacher friends that won't go out in the area where they teach in just simply because they don't want to run into other parents. They don't, if they do decide to have a good time and act goofy, like, you just don't want that attention brought on you. And then this guy just goes ahead and just brings on extra tension by joining.
He does. I have a lot of friends like that, too, that, you know, they would rather, they feel more comfortable being on the west side of town than they do on the east side of town with me. Unless it's the fair. Then they all love coming. They love coming to the fair because... Why do we all go to the fair? We go to the fair to people watch. I mean, even for East Siders, we go to the fair to people watch. And usually it's people watching us. I mean, that's the thing. And I'll tell you what, that was the most discouraging thing last year with all of this. I you know, losing the radio show because of COVID and doing all that hurt, you know, just all the disarray, but not having the Iowa State Fair. I mean, my wife and I had 12 days that we're like, okay, what do we do? You know, we were right there. We're there every day because we just—it's fun to watch people. So I
and it's what we do. I mean, it's what we do, and it's you know, and it has only been canceled so many times. So the what's so nice right now, you know, baseball players reported back yesterday. Yes. Things are kind of moving according to schedule, and I was listening to the CEO of our company, and he was doing a broadcast talking about. The best thing to see as other stuff comes back to life is just hope reinstilled in people.
Yes.
That maybe there is a different way that we're going to be able to live again that will bring people, you know, peace of mind and sanity, because between the divide that's happened and then people's mental health of not being able to go out or see people and relatives, it's just hope coming back that sports will have fans back this year. Well, at this point, we have the Iowa State Fair. I mean, those are little things, but it brings some sense of calm and normalcy that it's going to feel good to be able to look forward to things again.
And that's all we're looking for. And I hope then that when that does happen, I hope that everybody also realizes that all the good that happened during COVID and derecho and all of that, how we helped people out. And when you can start going back, I mean, we go a little bit to restaurants. We're leery of some because of how busy, but we've tried to go because I kept Barntown, you know, I love Barntown. I've been out there a bunch, pick up beers and food, you know, but we start going because we're going to lose that. That's the other sad part. We're going to lose a lot of restaurants over this. And they're just, when everything gets back to normal, they're just not going to be there. And that hurts in a town like this because you have these favorites that you want to go to. And even though, you know, if here's how Des Moines is so cool, you can go to a different place every day if you wanted to and get great food that's all over. You just have to hunt for it. But you're right. We need to, when it does open back up, we really need to get out there and try to help people. And I think that's what the fair is trying to do, is say, hey, we're going to give people some time away and get out here and enjoy this again. You got about a couple of minutes, then come back on with me and do the last 10?
Absolutely, sir.
Sweet. All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and then I will come back and get you when we're through this break, okay?
Gotcha.
You have been listening to Steen on Sports with Tiff. Makes my day. We're bringing sports your way every day. We're going to come back on. I got a couple of things to talk to her about. How much does the NFL want for Monday Night Football? You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Tiff, how you doing?
Well, I am awake. I didn't even have to have any caffeine.
Oh, man. That I came in and I put them on and it went off like that. Wow. Okay. So I did a little tease.
Hey, what do you want to da da da? I don't know. What do y'all think we should da da da?
Oh,
well,
no.
Yesterday. All the dolls feel like the same doll these days.
I know.
Like, is today Monday or Tuesday?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, no. I forgot to call my mom on her birthday.
Oh, no.
No.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. That won't change. Not to da or any da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Okay, so it's just going to keep doing that. So we'll see what we can do for the next 9 minutes. I apologize, everybody. That's what happens during COVID. And there's nobody.
Nothing is normal. Everything is weird.
And nobody's here but me. But so before it comes back on again, the NFL, Tiff, they want a dollar amount for you to show, and they want ESPN to pay this.
1700, the champ. Back to Pick Central from Barstool Sports.
See, it jumped way back. and I have no idea what it's doing. It's just moving on its own. ESPN has rights right now, but they want, are you ready for this? $3.5 billion to have the rights for Monday Night Football.
Whew. Right?
Unbelievable.
What is that about?
I don't know. I mean, that's crazy. I can't even begin to tell you what that is. I mean, that's just an incredible amount of money.
It's interesting to me because Monday Night Football has its own struggles. Anyway, we were talking about this, like, who's in the booth? And it's, since it's moved to ESPN, I found it lackluster. Like, I like Sunday Night Football. I like the people in the booth. I'm attached to the announcers. And they haven't been able to find that chemistry that makes it interesting to me. So, like, when you're thinking about advertising somewhere, you want people watching, and I don't know, I feel like they have to figure some things out before they ask for that kind of cash, especially right after COVID.
Oh, it's incredible, and I don't get it, and I don't know, nothing's worth that kind of money. I'm sorry. It's just not, and they don't get the best games. And it's just out there. Another interesting story that was out there today. So, beach volleyball was supposed to be playing in Qatar, and a bunch of beach volleyball gals are not going because they're not allowed to wear swims or like bikinis like they do when they play beach volleyball. And I'm trying to think to myself, okay, why are they playing beach volleyball in Qatar anyway? I mean, that's
right.
That's out there, you know. So. Okay, so now
I don't know, what do they want them playing in?
Yeah, I get that. I don't know, and it's crazy. So I don't understand.
Take that destination for playing beach volleyball. Like, that's probably not going to work out.
No, it's not. It's right. Right, you get that. It's not on the top of our list.
See, they're going to everywhere. They're just going to have to go to Florida, like everybody else in the entire world, because spring breaks have been canceled. You know, that's the thing. Like, when I had kids that were younger, we didn't do that, where everybody went on the spring break trip and they were some elaborate, you know, destinations always outside of this country. And now that the travel restrictions were put in place, everybody had to abandon their plans. And so I'm afraid Florida just might break off the end of the country, because I think everybody is going there.
It is, and that is, you know, and that's the, if you're okay flying on an airplane, flying to Florida is not expensive right now, flying to Vegas isn't expensive. We had a flight earlier in the year to go to Denver. We were out there for my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's. They wanted to get away for a few days, and we got flights for like $59. I mean, so
I know, it's crazy.
So you, if you want to go somewhere, you can find somewhere to go, but you just have to, you know, you have to put up with everything that you've been putting up with. But it's still, there's just nobody, there's not a lot of people. So the lines aren't long. It's just crazy.
Nope.
Especially if you're flying out at weird times, you know, if you don't mind flying out early in the morning or later in the day, you know, it's so much better. So, crazy stuff. Yesterday, I talked a little bit. I thought this was kind of cool. Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Matthews, his fiance, had a little baby girl. So now
they did.
Yes, Patrick Mahomes' life changes now to her name was Sterling Sky Mahomes. It's pretty cool.
It's so great. And, you know, I think when we're talking about him and just NFL quarterbacks, in general, he became like an exception to this rule, because all the stuff that's happening this year, you know, Baker Mayfield, let's just use him as an example. He's coming up at the end of his rookie contract.
Right.
And at this point, based on what has been happening with these players that you see, whether it's Jared Goff or Sam Darnold,
Carson
or
Wentz,
any of these kids, yeah, they're not going to sign him right away because he could just decide to go off the rails. And there's just so much activity that Patrick Mahomes having that contract he has, you talk about lucky, he doesn't have to worry about any of that for who knows how long.
Oh, I agree. And it's funny because I think that that Cleveland has a chance to do what the Cowboys are doing to Dak Prescott, and that's franchise tagging him, which I think is such a weird thing to do, Tiff, because it makes both parties unhappy. I mean, if you take that into real life, how many people say, okay, we could do this and one of us is going to be really happy and the other is going to be okay, or we can do the other thing and both of us can be miserable together. Oh, that, let's do the miserable one. That's where we need to go.
Well, I don't understand it from a business standpoint, like where they've gotten with Dak Prescott. Like now they're having to, he's on the last year of his franchise tag, and they're going to end up getting nothing for him unless they do a sign and trade, because why would he want to stay? Which then puts him in a predicament that God only knows as well. Same thing with the Eagles, right? They got rid of Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts, great, but they don't have a backup scenario. There's only five really viable quarterbacks, and most of them are going to go in the first round probably by 15. So if you're not in a scenario to get one and you're in these predicaments, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because Andy Dalton isn't that strong to carry the Cowboys on without Dak Prescott.
Oh, no.
He's iffy because of his injury. He should be able to come back fine. But, you know, would you want to somebody that's been kind of not nice to you? Same with Deshaun Watson. That's why he wants out. So it's going to be so interesting to see where all these people land, because it's going to change the playing field completely in regards to what next season's going to look like.
And none of us are used to it, because quarterbacks don't change. I mean,
right.
Very, very rarely do quarterbacks change. And when they do change, you know, it's at the end of their careers, not when they're, you know, Brett Favre left, Joe Montana left, you know, that kind of, you know, Tom Brady left, those kind of things happen. And Peyton Manning. But
yep,
not when they're in their prime. Dak Prescott and what he's going through, I don't care what anybody says, he's a top 10 quarterback. He's probably better than that. The Dallas Cowboys haven't done him any favors anywhere. So,
right. Did you see the controversy about Cam Newton and these kids?
Yeah.
And the whole disrespect there. I mean, it was so bad. And you feel, what you think about Cam Newton, I mean, he's somebody else that's also a free agent that they don't even think is going to be picked up.
Right.
I mean, it took the Patriots forever. So it's just going to see, it's going to be interesting, because there are several teams in desperate need of something, where all these people are going to land and how that's going to make people, like if the Jets get this Zach Wilson, how that might make them, you know, somebody that you even mention in the same, you know, conversation as NFL football teams. It'll be interesting.
Crazy. As always, that was awesome. Thank you for coming in today, doing four segments just like old times. I appreciate it.